pray for the building. Thank you. So many people that have been helping. We're getting very close to the stucco, and it's the outside of the building is coming sort of to an end, and a lot of work's getting done. And you might not see it. Go on the website, and if you go on our website and there's building on there, and you hit building, it just gives just what's happened in the last week. Looks are deceiving. It's funny. I don't know if I ever said this. Maybe I did. About the New Guinea chief and his wife that came to America, and they were in the department store. Did I tell you that before? They were in the department store, and him and his wife and his son, and they'd never seen an elevator before. You heard that one, right? They've never seen the elevator, and looks are deceiving. By the way, you go to some foreign country, you never know what's going on. You know, it's like, what's this? An elderly lady went in the elevator, and it closed, and he's like, wow, where'd she go? And then he just stood there, and it opened up, and a beautiful young lady came out. And he looked at his son, he said, get your mother, put her in there. Looks are deceiving. Matthew chapter 6. Really, I look forward to getting in that new church auditorium. I don't like the patio. I like the people on the patio, but it's easy for people to get up and go to the bathroom. That's not a movie theater back there. It's not a football game, okay? It's church. And so I think, Ryan, I need you to go out there. Some of you bigger guys sort of be bodyguards, you know? Can't come in and out as you please and all that type of stuff. And then the hallway ministry. People just, you know, going to church in every church in America, they have a hallway church. And people go to church, but they never get in the auditorium. Oh, well, you know, I got to check on my, everybody's already checked on. So, by the way, you staff members too, quit hanging out in the stall hallway. Matthew chapter 6 is a very simple message on the will of God. The will of God. Life is short. Life is short. And we all need to endeavor to seek, to obey, and to discover God's will. Matthew chapter 6. This is, this could be in your prayer list. Open up your prayer time with this prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's honor God and his name. By the way, that's why Christians ought to live right all the time. If you're not going to live right, don't tell people you're a Christian. The reason when we go knock on a door and someone slams the door in our face is because somebody didn't represent Christ right. And so they think that you're associated with whoever that is. But we're supposed to honor God in his name. Hallowed be thy name, verse 10. Thy kingdom come. Now look at those next two words. Thy will. Thy will be done. We should all pray every day that we do God's will. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, give us this day our daily bread. He goes on and finishes the Lord's Prayer there. I want you to turn, if you would, please, to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Of course, Jesus is getting ready in very short time to go to the cross to pay for our sins. And in verse 36 of Matthew chapter 26, or verse 35 of Matthew 26, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Of course, they didn't keep their word, but verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. He knew that the disciples were going to betray him, and he knew that he was going to go to the cross. Then saith he, verse 38, unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. So this is Jesus saying his soul is sorrowful. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, this is his prayer. This is Jesus. He said, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Jesus was saying, I need your help, and I'm asking you to help me to do your will. Verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and find them asleep. And saith unto Peter, what could you not have watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, and this is him praying to the Father, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, look at these next four words, thy will be done. Father, help us to be a people that do the will of God. And help us to be a people that, with your word, learn it, study it, and obey the revealed will of God. And teach us, we pray, this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Look, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15. First John 2, verse 15. Go to Revelation, make a left, a couple few books, you find it. Love, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, the what class? The will of God abideth forever. Doing the will of God is doing that which God has called us to do for eternity. Look at James chapter 4, and then I'm going to give you 10 thoughts about the will of God. James chapter 4, verse number 13. James 4, verse 13. Several different topics are discussed in James chapter 4. And then one part of the discussion is about the will of God. And look at verse number 13 in James 4. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city. Actually, this is referring to probably a business person that's going to move to maybe a better area where the economy is better. Go to now, verse 13, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year. So this is going to be a temporary stay. And buy and sell. That's how you make money as a business person, you buy lower than you're going to sell and get gain. Verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. So you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Now, let me make a comment on that, and then we're going to read verse 15. Life is a lot shorter than those of you that are 40 and under think it is. Short. You're here and then you're gone. How many of you guys are 40 and over? Raise your hand. Guys, we don't talk about ladies' ages. 40 and over. 40 and over. Okay? Let's see this. It's not going to make. How many 50 and overs? 50s and overs. This is my crowd right here. Okay. I hate to say it, 40 and over. You're halfway there. You're more than halfway there. Chuck, you're on borrowed time. Okay? There is something in our humanity that makes us think that we're going to live longer than we are really going to live. Everybody else dies. We don't die. No, you die too. And that's what God's trying to say here. These three or four little verses here, he's saying, listen, life is short, even in your business transactions, even in your moving, even in your career. We like to call it life purpose. Do the will of God. Why? Because life is short. I had premarital counseling with Daniel and Espy yesterday, and we were talking about, yeah, marriage, that's a good part of life, amen? Okay, you single people, we feel sorry for you. Cody said sometimes you're sleeping on the floor tonight. And we're talking about, you know, people like John R. Rice, he didn't believe in savings and he didn't believe in investments, and Lester Roloff, no insurance. No, and I said, that's fine, but that's between you and God. And I said, you are going to get older. I mean, unless God, for some reason, takes you home, you are going to get older. And it doesn't hurt to have, you know, maybe you won't be able to do. Now, I'm like Russell Anderson. I don't want to retire. I want to refire. You know, when I'm 80 years old, I want to keep serving the Lord. Maybe I can't do quite as much. Okay, but I want to keep serving God. You know, I'd like to be preaching one day and the next day just die in my sleep and go to heaven. You mean you don't have a dream? No, I don't have a dream. Those are nightmares anyway. But I explained to him. I said, listen, you're going to get older. I mean, life is not, oh, wow. You know, we stay young. No, you don't stay young for a long time. I mean, it's going fast. By the way, this used to be a church with no gray hairs. Man, if someone came in the back door with gray hairs, we'd say, hey, would you sign our Bible? We didn't just, very few people, just, but you know what? We're getting gray hairs. We're actually getting older together. Okay? I remember some of you, listen, we're going to celebrate our 25th anniversary here in a month and a half. And some of you, you came here, you were 20 years old or you were 17 years, you're in your 40s. You're halfway, you're past 70, okay, we live, you know, medical science might keep you around a little longer. But that's what he's saying here, verse 14, for as you know not what you shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? That's a good title of a sermon. It is even a vapor. Where to go? Okay, that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Now, look at this. This is verse 15. For that ye ought to say, and he's talking about those two previous verses. He said, what you ought to say, this is how you ought to live. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. It's pretty easy. You know what I'm saying? Let's ask God, what do you want me to do? Let's ask God, is this your will? By the way, anything in the Bible, we know it's his will. Okay, this is the revealed will of God right here on our laps today. Let me give us just a few thoughts this morning that hopefully will help us if we're listening. Number one, God's will is best for everybody. God has chosen to be our Father. And our, for you old timers, how many remember the little 30-minute movie or whatever you call it, Fathers Know Best? How many remember that? Remember that? All the old people. Okay. No comment. Father knows best. Now, our Father in heaven, who is omnipresent, he's omniscient, he's omnipotent, he's sovereign, he's provident, he knows everything. God knows what's best, so God's will is best for everybody. So don't think you can outsmart God. It's like, well, I won't tell him. I'm going to do this. No. God wants us to pour out our hearts and say, God, maybe I don't understand this, and maybe I'm not clear on this, but I want to do your will. God's will is best for everybody. Being in the center of God's will is best for everybody. Being in the center of God's will is safest for everybody. Number two, not doing God's will is tragic. It's tragic. We can go through the many men, especially in the Bible, that got out of God's will. Tragic. And sometimes they came back as the choir was singing. And when you come back in the God's will, hooray, but you may never gain back what you lost out of God's will. Dr. Lee Robertson said 90% of Bible college students marry outside of God's will. By the way, if you married outside of God's will, guess what happened once you got married? You're now in God's will. Don't even bring, oh, I got the wrong one. I got to go find. No. Too late. And by the way, don't even talk about it. Don't even think about it. Don't even pray. Oh, God, I got the wrong. No, don't pray about that. Certain things you don't pray about. You just go on and say, this one is God's will, even though it wasn't before we got married. I can't figure that. I can't figure it out. Just go with it. By the way, you single guys, you single girls, don't get desperate. Just take any little, you know, poodle will show up on the front porch wagging his tail. There are many married ladies that wished they were single today because they got desperate. And they're, I don't know, dream, whatever, they would say, we'll just leave it at that. Not doing God's will is tragic. By the way, parents, not leading your children to do the will of God is tragic. Please understand this. The career guidance classes, your coworkers, and all the books that are out there are not going to lead you to lead your children to do the will of God. Because they don't read the verses in James chapter 4 that says life is a vapor and what we should do is whatever God wants us to do, his will with this and his will to do that. What we need to do as parents is lead our children to do the will of God. Tragic. Well, I want them to have a comfortable life. A comfortable life is not fighting every night and talking to a lawyer about a divorce. That's not a comfortable life. Comfortable life is doing the will of God. God wants us to seek his will about everything. It's not just about the big things. We see there in verse 15, this was about moving temporarily for 1 year. That's what I see it. Maybe you see something different there. To go somewhere for a year and come back. He said, hey, don't take the reins into your hand. Seek the will of God. God wants us to seek. I remember as a young Christian, I wanted to be a forest ranger. I thought that'd be cool. driving around in a Jeep with a gun looking for, you know, Smokey the Bear. I just thought that would be the great. I like the outdoors, and, you know, I just thought that would be great. But, you know, that was not God's will for my life. We should seek God's will. David Gibbs became a lawyer, and he was in once he became a lawyer, he began to seek the will of God. And I believe it was his wife that, I can't remember the whole story, but I think it was his wife that said, we ought to consider being legal missionaries. By the way, if I remember correctly, up until that time, years, decades ago, there weren't legal missionaries. You say, what's a legal missionary? A legal missionary is somebody that has to say, we're not going to get paid being a lawyer. And we're going to defend the liberty that God has given us, and we're going to defend the rights that God has given us, and we're going to defend churches. And so he, if I remember correctly, he quit his practice and went and raised support so that he can help churches because he thought that was the will of God. So don't say, oh, well, I'm already in the middle of my career. Well, maybe you missed it. Maybe you need to get on your knees and say, God, what do you want me to do? Because it's really not a career. It's a life purpose. We're down here for a purpose. God wants us to seek his will in every area of our life. We should seek God's will in who we marry. We should seek God's will in our life purpose. Say, what's our life purpose? I don't have time to go into all this. We have been so duped in our careers. And I don't like the word career. That's what most people use, the word career. Okay? You go to get an education, and then you get a job, and then you get a pension, and then you die. And if you die before your wife, you leave it all to your wife's new husband. What's that? How about let's do the will of God? By the way, the will of God is exciting. Seek God's will in your life purpose. And parents, train your children to seek the will of God. Well, I've always wanted my child to be this. Well, how about what God wants your child to be? We should see God's will in how we lead our children. We should, number four, we should not wait to totally commit to God's will. Don't wait until you're in the hospital. Okay, God. Oh, okay, I'll do it. Wouldn't it be good if you're healthy, got a bunch of years ahead of you, and say, you know what, God, I'm going to give you the best years of my life, and then I'm going to give you the ones that aren't that good, and then when I'm getting towards glory land, I'm going to give you everything. Don't wait until you get sick and you're about to die, or don't wait until God's got you in a corner and, you know, you get in a car accident and you're like, oh, well, God, why don't you do it like right now? We should not wait to totally commit to God's will. Life is too short. Every day, by the way, when you get a little older, you just sort of count the days and count the hours and count the weeks. And it's like, man, let's see, in about a month and a half, September 23rd, I'm going to be 53. Hey, quiet. You're so old, you forgot how old you were the other day. By the way, that's tough when you're like, how old am I? By the way, once my children become adults, you know, we believe in soul liberty. I'm not making my adult children do anything. If they live in our house, there's certain things they have to abide by, and that's just the way it is. But my children let me influence them. And one way I try to influence them, even my adult children, it's like, hey, guys, it's short. Okay? And truthfully, I influence my children to do things in their 20s, to do and not do things that I used to do, and I don't mean sinful things. But I mean things are like, it's a waste of time. Recreation is recreation. Recreate. Don't live to play. If you live for Fridays, your life is off kilter. Time off is so that we can get refreshed to get back to do what God wants us to do. It's not to live for. A vacation isn't like, I can't wait. By the way, sometimes I feel like that. I need a little break. But that break is to get back to the will of God. And by the way, that break is a part of the will of God. We should not wait to totally commit to God's will. I've talked to wonderful people, even some of my friends, they died prematurely, and they always, I'm going to do this one of these days. I'm going to do this one of these days. This is what God wants, and they never did it. God's will should always have him first in our endeavors. So what is God's will? God's will is God is first in everything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The Lord, 30 times in the Bible, asks for the first fruits. By the way, this little story is about money. You have a wallet on you? I'm not going to look in there. He says, that's fine. My wife carries the money. God's will has to do with money. That gets quiet right there. God says, I want first place in your wallet. We're not real Martin Luther fans, okay, simply because a lot of his brethren persecuted our brethren. But he had some nice things to say. One thing he said, one of the conversions, you have the conversion of the mind, the conversion of the soul, and then he said you have the conversion of the pocketbook. You cannot be in the will of God if you don't say, God, you can have your will in my wallet. You know the Mormons? So I think Brother Ross sent this to me. 90% of Mormon people give 10% of their income to a false god. Wow. Every endeavor. It should never be, God bless what I am doing, and stop there. It should be, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Then, Lord, this is for your specific purpose now that I'm doing it. Brother Mike West, he's a businessman. I like what he does. He sent me this email after he got home. I won't read all this. Brother West owns a business in Tennessee. And what he does, he gets enough money to pay his bills, and then he gets a little bit more, and he goes on a missions trip. Then he comes back, makes a little bit more money. By the way, he said, Brother Esposito, you mentioned to your church to pray for rain. Rain, his main thing he does is he fixes metal roofs. And so when it rains in Tennessee, they find where their leaks are. And he went back, he said, man, your people were praying. He said, man, it's raining like cats and dogs over here. So maybe that'll get them back over here faster, amen? He says, was another blessing to be able to spend another week with your good folks at Pacific Baptist, but I was glad to get back to Chattanooga. Sure did enjoy staying with Joseph and Jennifer. They're about the nicest and godliest young couple that I've ever met. They don't know Joseph well enough. Always good to be around your children, blah, blah, blah. Let me see. Okay, here. Wish I had another 100 years to give to the Lord to meet pastors and missionaries and help with their buildings. You know God's will for his life is? It's not his job. His job is to help him to do the will of God. Brother Pack over here. Where are you, Brother Pack? Right over here. He's a doctor, and he has a clinic, and he says something like this. He said, you know, like my first responsibility is to get these people born again. He said his patients sometimes get mad at him because he straight out asks them, are you born again? It's probably before he takes their pulse, their blood pressure. Are you born again? And he understands that his job is just a tool to be used to do the will of God. God's will is having him first place in every part of our lives. Number six, don't wait for pressure to do the will of God. Number next, God's will should be at the center of our finances. And I just mentioned that. Don't be deceived by the deceitfulness of riches. Money is a tool to do the will of God. Okay, money doesn't bring, the deceitfulness of riches the Bible talks about, is believing that money brings something that it can't. About a year ago, Brother Pineda, I think in one of our staff devotions, he gave a staff devotion, he gave, and I've read this actually before, he gave this little quote. John D. Rockefeller said, "I have made millions, but they have brought no happiness." Maybe we can learn from some of these guys saying, listen, it doesn't matter if you make millions. That's not what brings happiness. You say, what's going to bring happiness? Doing the will of God. Vanderbilt, W.H. Vanderbilt, the richest man at that time of his death, said the care of $200 million is enough to kill. By the way, you know the more money you have, the more people want to sue you? It's crazy. It's crazy. All the insurance, I mean, just the word. Listen. You say, well, then what do I do? Just live poor? No, you know what? Just do the will of God. Well, I don't know the will of God. Seek the will of God. Learn His word. Obey His word. And I'll get to the one of the last points about how God shows you His will. He said $200 million is enough to kill anyone. There's no pleasure in it. I know what you'd say. Man, if I won a lotto and I had $200 million, I know exactly what I know. It'd probably cause you to have a stroke. John Jacob Astor, the first multimillionaire in the U.S., said, "I am the most miserable man on earth." And that's what we want. We want what they have. Henry Ford said, "I was happier when I was doing a mechanics job." Andrew Carnegie, who is often regarded as the second richest man in history, said, "Millionaires seldom smile." The first step to knowing and doing God's will is learning and obeying God's revealed will, and it's right here in the Bible. Right there. So I don't have time to read the Bible. You'll probably never be able to understand or discover the will of God. Not having a will of your own helps us in doing God's will. The biggest hindrance to doing God's will, other than not being saved and not knowing the Bible, is having a will of our own. It's so powerful that it's in competition with what God wants us to do. George Mueller said about the will of God, he said, "This calmness of mind, this having," and he called it, "no will of my own in the matter." And he was talking about how to discover God's will. He said, "Having no will in the matter, this only wishing to please my heavenly Father in it." So what's that mean? He said, "Listen, I have no will in the matter." He said, "My will is to please my heavenly Father." This only seeking His and not my honor in it. This state of heart, I say, is the fullest assurance to me that my heart is not under a fleshly excitement, which most people live from fleshly excitement to fleshly excitement, and some of them might not be necessarily marked as sinful, but they're worldly. I say the fullest assurance to me is that my heart is not under a fleshly excitement, and that if I am helped thus to go on, I shall know the will of God to the full. But while I write this, I cannot but add at the same time that I do crave the honor and the glorious privilege to be more and more used by the Lord. I often say this, the will of God is like a Polaroid picture. The longer you walk with Him, the clearer it gets. Unfortunately, what happens is we walk with God and we see it, and we start to see it clearer, and then we get off His path, and then it's like, see, Joseph, God gave him a little Polaroid picture. Then he got sold into slavery. Don't think that problems come your way means you're not in the will of God. The truth of the matter is problems are the fire that God uses to purge us, to be able to do His will. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Let's stand together.